Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn to the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. This is the fifth discourse. We have been in this for a few weeks. I hope that you have been following along. I hope you have been here. And if you haven't been, please go online to our media section. You can listen to the messages. They are just the audio is there, and you can catch up. Or you can go back and study. These are very important messages from the Lord Jesus. It is the fifth discourse of Matthew. Now, Matthew, the 25th chapter, that discourse continues in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming! Go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word, penetrate our hearts, draw us to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for challenging us. Now, Father, let us meet that challenge. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was a marvelous teacher. He knew exactly how to communicate. And so sometimes he would communicate in parables. He would give a story to illustrate what he was trying to get across. Now, if you want to know one of the great things about chapter 25 in the Gospel according to Matthew, it is that it comes after chapter 24. Now, that is a truth because you really need to kind of know what's going on in chapter 24 to fully be able to understand what's going on in chapter 25. See, the Bible is written in context. And so you shouldn't lift things out of context, and you should know the context. That's why you should go back and study these things. This is Jesus teaching his eschatology, big word. His last days, his thoughts about what's coming. And if anybody knows, Jesus knows. So he's trying to prepare. He knows his death is soon. This is the time he is trying to get everyone ready and let everybody know that the clock is ticking. So in chapter 24, we have the Lord's messages about the end times. He's talking about his return, and he talks about his return as it deals with three groups of people. His return as it deals with the Jews, his return as it deals with the Gentiles, and his return as it deals with the church. And so as he begins off, he talks about a parable of 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. This parable is addressed to the Jews, but it certainly challenges all of us. The bridegroom in this story is Jesus himself. The bride, which we don't see, is the church. And then you have the 10 virgins that is the nation of Israel. Revelations 19:9 speaks of them as friends of the bridegroom. Those friends are invited. They're invited to share in the wedding. When you have a wedding, you invite other people in. You usually invite people you know. Some people invite people they think they can get gifts out of. And so that's part of the process, and that happens. We actually have special parties that are gift-giving parties. They're called showers. You shower them with presents. And they are thankful to get those presents because generally couples that are starting out their life have nothing. And so they're glad to get something with which to start from. So these friends are going to come to the wedding. The marriage is between the groom is Jesus, the bride is the church. Now, while this points to the Jews, I want you to be sure that it also challenges us. Verse 13 is the key. What you know not, watch you know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. The point of this parable is time is passing. You need to be watching. In fact, if you read through chapter 24, you read into this chapter, there's a lot of waking up to do. There's a lot of being alert to do. We need to be alert because the time of Jesus' coming is near. Now, some have said, well, you know, those guys back in the times when Jesus was, you know, they were told that it was near, but it didn't seem to be near. And some of you may think, well, Jesus is not going to come anytime soon. It's okay. And you just kind of rest in that thought that maybe he's not coming. Maybe that's just a story in the Bible. Can I tell you that everything in the Bible that has been said to be true has shown itself true? And that tells us that everything that is said that is going to happen is also true. Jesus is going to come. We should live with the knowledge that he is coming. We should live with the readiness so that if he comes, we're not surprised. When he comes, we just turn and say, hey, Jesus, I've been waiting for you. You know, we should have that in our heart. We should have that in our lives. If you are not living like he is coming, then there's some changes that need to be made. Here we have the reception. Jesus is using an everyday experience. The Jews knew about weddings that took place. They're different from the Western weddings, certainly different from what we experience today, but maybe different what they do now in Israel. But this is the traditional wedding in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, the whole community would get involved. When we took a group to Israel, we saw a bar mitzvah, a parade of a bar mitzvah. Now, I didn't know there were parades with bar mitzvahs, but I found out there certainly are. And they take the young man and they escort him. And in Jerusalem, they escort him to the Wailing Wall. And that's where they have part of the ceremony of dedicating the young man to the Lord. And the whole community is involved. Everybody that knows the family is in the parade. Everybody that doesn't know the family, when they see the parade, they congratulate the entire family that this event is taking place. So certainly a wedding is such an event, and everybody comes in. Everybody comes in because they know it's going to be a party. Now, I don't know how your wedding events are. I encourage couples. Nobody ever listened to this, but I encourage couples that they don't have to break the bank in order to have a wedding. You know, to spend thousands of dollars on an event and then not have a place to live doesn't make sense to me. But nevertheless, many do that. And they spend a whole lot of money, and they have dinners for everybody, trying to feed everybody. Folks have weddings mid-morning, mid-afternoon, when they've already eaten. You know, it'll help you out a lot. I'm just telling you. You know, cake and punch work for years and years, and it's a whole lot cheaper than the whole spread. You will be novel if you do that at your wedding. and it will be appreciated because nobody wants to stay around forever. But in the Jewish world, 7 days, 7 days of eating, 7 days, these people had to be Baptist, you know, 7 days, but they were Jews, 7 days, you know, of celebrating, 7 days. In our world, who pays for the wedding and the reception? The bride's father, usually, or bride's family. That's not how it worked for the Jews. You know who paid for it with the Jews? The father of the groom. Do you catch what God is showing us here? The picture that God is showing us? The one that paid for you to be able to feast is our Father God who gave his son. And so here's the picture. You got the groom, you got his friends, and the groom and his friends would go get the bride. Never knew when that was going to happen. But I guess when he finished his cold feet, that's when they went to go. But they would go and get the bride. They would actually, the groom's family would actually pay for the bride. A price was paid. The father paid a great price for you. And so that's part of this process. But they would go to the bride's home. They would get the bride. The groom and the bride would then return, and they would be met by a greeting party. These 10 virgins are the greeting party. If it would help you out, think bridesmaids. And, you know, bridesmaids, those that group that traditionally dresses and dresses that they would never be seen dead in anywhere else. And, you know, the bridesmaids. And wise brides today are trying to make that better because they've been bridesmaids, and so they're trying to give dresses that they can wear. But anyway, so think bridesmaids. And they go out and they usher in the groom, and that's all part of this ceremony. Many people are around. Many people gather for the feast. Well, many people today are around the church. They may drop in the church. They may think of the church. They may watch us online. They may come a few times during the year, just dropping in here and there. They make Christmas. They make Easter, you know, and if they're really into it, they may make Mother's Day. Father's Day, eh. You know, so, you know, they show up, they're kind of around the church, and they've heard that Jesus is coming again, but they really don't believe it. There were many Jews that had heard the Messiah was going to come, but they really didn't believe it. And so they didn't prepare, they didn't make ready. There's an anticipation here. The 10 virgins are anticipating the bridegroom coming. They're going to go out to meet him. They got their outfits ready. They are together. They're ready. They're just waiting. They know it's sometime soon. They don't know when it is. All 10 of them will go to meet the bridegroom. They seem like they're all alike. They're not alike. You know, if you ever go to a wedding, you see the bridesmaids all dressed, and many times dressed just alike. And I can promise you, they're not all alike. There are differences in them. All of the 10 virgins will go out to meet them, but they're not equally prepared. You know, it's one thing to have heard that Jesus is coming again. It's one thing to know that he will come, and he will come certainly in the eastern sky. He will come when no one expects him. It's one thing to have that somewhere in your mind, but it's another to be ready. It's another to be prepared. It's another to be expecting. It's not enough to say you believe Jesus is coming. You need to start living like it. Living like any day he comes, you're walking with him, you're ministering to others, you're sharing the gospel, you're doing what you should do, and Jesus comes and you're ready. That's how the church should be doing. That's what you and I should be doing. So there's this personal preparation. Now, in this wedding party, there are five of the virgins that are wise and five are foolish. Ever talk to bridesmaids? Just you connect the dots if it applies. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. But, so five are wise, five are foolish. Five are ready, five are just not. In this world, we have divisions. We have the rich, we have the poor. We have the fat, we have the thin. We have the educated, we have the uneducated. We have the good, we have the bad. We have those with their football teams going to the playoffs and those that messed up and are not going to go. We have all kinds of groups. Jesus says, for this purpose, there are two categories. There are the saved and there are the lost. And you are one of those, my friend. And if you are lost, you don't need to stay lost. You need to be saved. When a person dies, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're fat or thin, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, or even who your football team is. It doesn't matter. It will only matter if you are saved or lost. Some are foolish, some are wise. The foolish took lamps, but they didn't take oil. You can have the finest car the world has ever seen, the car that people will be amazed and they will raise your status by you having that car. But if you don't have something to fuel that car, it's not going anywhere. You can have a beautiful lamp, but if there is no oil, there will be no light. Oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The lamp is a symbol of the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The vessel represents an individual life. Remember when Paul came to Jesus, he was said to be a chosen vessel. To have oil in the lamp is to be illumined by God's Spirit and to walk in God's Word. To have oil in the vessel, the person has received Jesus as their Savior. They've accepted the truth and they believe in the Messiah and the sacrifice He will make. And they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You see, when a person is saved, when a person gets Jesus as their Savior, Jesus comes to live in their life in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so you are indwelt, you're inhabited by the Holy Spirit. He is the one to guide you. Now you may say, I don't have the Spirit. Well, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Jesus. The Bible says, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, they are none of His. So those that had oil in their vessels had received the Messiah, had received Jesus. They had God's Spirit in their lives, and they were ready to follow God's Word. They were prepared. Do you know that you're prepared for Jesus to come again? Have you made the right steps to be prepared? It's not enough to know about the Lord. You've got to receive the Lord. Now, those with the oil in their vessels are saved. Those without oil in their vessels are lost. There's an accommodation they make. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They didn't know when this guy was going to show up. They get tired, they go to sleep. By the way, they had basically a farming community. And so in farming communities, people don't stay up all night. There's nothing to stay up all night and do. They go to sleep. And so they would go to sleep generally early. So they're really not thinking that the bridegroom is going to come at night. They just go to sleep. They're still together. They are generally thinking, well, I got to do this sometime, but they sleep. It's very easy for people to accommodate themselves to their present situation. But if you really understood, if you really know that you're lost and you're headed to a devil's hell, you're not going to be sleeping much. You're going to be wanting to know how you can be saved, how you can come to God. But when you sleep, you kind of sleep in ignorance. You don't know what's going on. They all fell asleep. Hey, the saved and the lost fell asleep. Many believers ignore the truth that Jesus is coming. How do I know? Look at empty seats. Many believers live like Jesus isn't going to come at all. They live like it's not really true. They believed in Jesus for salvation, but they are certainly not following him in their life, and they are not prepared for him to show up. They're asleep on the job, as it were. One of the reasons we're in such a mess in our nation is because saved people with the truth, are taking the truth for granted. And that's true for many believers everywhere. Is it true for you? See, God's word is true. You remember Jonah? Jonah knew God's word. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He runs away. He's going to get away from what God says. He knows he's God, but he thinks he can run away from God. He's not going to follow God. So here they are on a boat, and they're out to sea, and a storm comes up, and the poor lost sailors on that boat are terrified, thinking they're going to die. Where is Jonah? He's sleeping like these virgins sleeping. You see, he knows the truth, but he's sleeping in the truth instead of living like he believes the truth. And you know what happened? He was in a well of a mess. And my friend, if you don't live like you know the truth as a believer, you will be in a well of a mess. So the world is headed to hell. The church is asleep. Listen, while we don't do what we are called to do as believers, other people are dying and going to hell. We've got to be awake. We've got to start telling people about Jesus. We've got to start living like we believe what the Bible says. We see the return. Verse 6, at midnight. Well, what is midnight? That's the darkest hour. Great Bible teachers are saying today that we are in the darkest hour. And my goodness, how can it get worse than what it is? I got news for you. It can. It will. But we are certainly close to that midnight hour. At midnight, there went out a cry, "Go out to meet the bridegroom." Well, that was their alarm clock. Time has come. Verse 7, all the virgins arose. They trimmed the wick of their lamps, and they're ready to go out. Except, uh-oh, there are five of the virgins that did not have oil for their lamps. They said, "Give us of your oil for our lamps have gone out." They had the illumination to receive the Lord, but they didn't respond to the Lord. They had the knowledge of what they needed to do, but they didn't do it. And so they were not prepared. Listen, if you don't respond to Bible truth in your life, if you don't respond to what God gives you, why should he tell you anything else? Why should he guide you in any other way? Their lamp had gone out. When you reject the truth God gives you, the lamp will go out and things will get darker. They asked the wise, "Give us your oil." The answer is no. Go buy your own. Now that sounds really harsh, but really they are seeking to be prepared for what they have to do. you can share food, you can share clothing, you can share a roof, but you can't give somebody your salvation. You can tell them how they can get it for themselves. That's what they do. But you cannot give them yours. And God is telling us very clearly, your mama and daddy may be a Christian. That does not make you one. You may be a Christian. It doesn't make your mama and daddy one. I hear people all the time telling me that they have somebody in their line of heritage, maybe a grandmother, maybe a grandfather, maybe a great uncle, and they were a preacher. They were a preacher. And as if that makes them saved. It doesn't. Well, my grandmother was in church all the time. She was there every day the doors were open. Well, have you ever been? That doesn't save you. The only person that can get you to Jesus and respond to Jesus is you. Nobody else can do it for you. If I could do it for people, I would. Now, what I can do is tell them how they can find Jesus. I can do that, and I should do that. But I can't give them my salvation. While they were gone to get oil, the bridegroom came. Uh-oh. They missed it. No problem. We'll just go to the wedding. They go to the wedding. Door shut. Here we are. Lord, Lord, let us in. One day you have to understand the door is going to be shut. One day you will not have an opportunity to come to Jesus. One day you will not have an opportunity to follow Jesus. Those that were ready were shut in with the bridegroom. Shut in with Jesus. That's where I want to be. One day you will die. If you are a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That day you are shut in with Jesus. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, only joy, peace, and the comfort of Jesus. But when the door is shut for the saved, it is also shut for the lost. And they are shut out of hope, out of opportunity, out of peace, out of love, out of forgiveness, out of comfort, away from God. If I did not know Jesus, I would not be able to sleep. I would not be able to leave a worship service. I would not be able to do anything until I got Jesus in my heart. Jesus came and died for me, was buried for me, rose for me. He wanted to be with me. But I had to say yes. I had to get Jesus in my life. They had to get the oil so that they could have a light. There's a refusal. Verse 11. Five foolish virgins come. Lord, Lord, open to us. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He answered and said, I know you not. Oh my. What horrible words to hear. I know you not. They had the language down, Lord, Lord. They may have known the scripture verses. They may have quoted them. They may have been in church some, but they never came to the point where they invited Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. They never followed Him in their life. They never entered into a relationship with Him. And therefore, they are lost. Verse verse 13, watch for you do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. Let's get real for a moment. You may not see the signs. I don't know how you could not see the signs in today's world. If you've been with us through chapter 24, you should be aware that their signs are falling into place. Jesus is going to come. Now, he's going to come whether you see the signs or not. Are you ready? What if he doesn't come now? Well, then I need to tell you this, friend. You see, as a believer, if he doesn't come for me, I'm going to him. You understand this? You know, I will not live forever, and you won't either. If Jesus does not come while I am living, then I will die and to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. But that transaction is going to happen where I will be with Jesus. He will come for me and I will be with him. I will go to him and I will be with him. You can't say that if you do not know him. I do not say it because I am good. I say it because I am saved. I do not say it because I have done all the right things. I say it because Jesus did the right things for me and I received it. What this scripture is saying, whatever you're going to do with Jesus, do it now. Because the time is passing. The signs are there. Jesus is coming. Don't be shut out. Now, if you're a believer, it's time to get busy for Jesus. It's time to be inviting people, challenging people, telling people about Jesus. Invite people to church. That's a good place to start. Invite them to come and be with you. That means you need to show up so that they can be with you. Invite them to Sunday school. It's a non-threatening place where they can get to know people and learn about Jesus. But the time is short. It is short for the lost because they can be lost forever. It is short for the saved because these are the days for us to serve him. What are you doing? Would you come to Jesus? Would you recommit yourself to Jesus? Would you commit yourself to follow Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if Thanksgiving week you were born again and sealed in the family of God? Wouldn't it be great if Thanksgiving week you as a believer rededicated your life because of all that God has done for you? It really is up to you. What will you do with Jesus? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, there are those listening that do not have Jesus as their Savior. They've been waiting. I don't know why they've been waiting, but Father, let them know this is the time to wake up. This is the time to get Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would. I pray that they would come to Jesus this very day, that they would ask Jesus to forgive them, that they would ask Jesus to come into their heart and save their soul, that they would believe that Jesus will do that. And Father, that all that would take place now. I pray, Father, for believers. Father, I am so sorry that we have done so little to reach these lost people around us. Father, I pray that would change now. I pray that our commitment to you would be greater. Our desire to reach others would explode in our hearts and we would start touching the lives of those that are around us. Father, Thanksgiving, we'll have a lot of people in our homes. Some of them don't know you. Father, let this be the time that we challenge them for Jesus. Father, draw our hearts to you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you come now as we sing?